I was reading about a story that I've shared a long time ago, but I'd like to share it again. It's a story about a little boy, happy little boy, who went out into the field wearing a baseball cap. In one hand, he carried a baseball, and in the other one, he carried a baseball bat. His face bore the look of tremendous confidence. Cocking his bat, he tossed the ball into the air, saying, "I'm the greatest batter in the world." Then he swung and missed. "Strike one," he said. He picked up the ball, examined it, threw it into the air again, and swung. As he swung, he repeated, "I'm the greatest batter in the world." And once again, he missed. "Strike two," he said. This time, he stopped to examine the bat to make sure it didn't have a hole in it. Then he picked up the ball, adjusted his cap, and tossed the ball into the air the third time. And he repeated, "I'm the greatest batter in the world." And swung with all his might. And he missed for the third straight time. "Wow," he said, "I'm the greatest pitcher in the world." Friends, today is the second Sunday of 2021. And as we look back in the past 12 months, or perhaps even several years back, I am not sure whether most of us would be considered to be pitchers or batters. But one thing for sure is that at times we have all struck out. Perhaps more times than we would like to. And so I guess what I'm saying is that it's good to make a fresh start, a new beginning. It's new. It's good to have a do-over, to have a mulligan, as we said last week. Many of us have made mistakes. We have experienced setbacks and failures throughout our lives. Sometimes we allow these mistakes and these setbacks and these failures to enslave us to the point that we never enjoy our Christian walk. We never enjoy the Christian life that God has given us to enjoy. Friends, God would rather give you and I a do-over, a fresh start, a new beginning, than to see us quit the race and throw in the towel. This morning, God is saying to you and I, friends, he's saying, "I want you to have a fresh start in life. I want you to have a new beginning. I want to do something new in your life." Doesn't that just make you excited to know that? In our text this morning, in Isaiah 43, verse 18 and 19, God says, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland." This promise came to the Jewish nation when they were reeling in judgment and the consequences of their actions. Now the Lord is saying, forget about what has happened before. Do not think about the past. Instead, look at the new things I am doing. The New Century Version puts it that way. Let me give you another paraphrase. Forget about what happened before, God is saying. Don't think about the past. It's over. The book is closed on it. Friends, we need to understand that God is far more interested in your future than he is in about your past. we think that God is just angry with us and he's just waiting to punish us. That's what we've been feeling, friends. Again, I want to say, God is more interested in your future than he is in your past. He says, forget about your past. Forget about the former things. Don't think about it. Look, look at the new thing I am doing. Yes, some historical background to our text. Israel was being punished for the sins and rebellion against God. They were in exile in Babylon. The children of Israel had failed God miserably. And every time he blessed them with good things, they returned to him evil things. God gave them the temple. They gave him idol worship. God gave them truth. They lived to proclaim a lie. God gave them his commands. They thought of it was multiple choice. It was a suggestion. God gave them wealth. They used it to abuse the poor. God gave them himself. They gave him rejection. Do you see this? All the time we see this happening in the lives of the Jews. Well, at this low point, God sends them a word through the prophet Isaiah, because he knew that his people needed some reassurance. He went about reassuring them in verse 43. Although our text is verse 18 and 19, I gave you a little background to the rest of the verses, and I'll tell you again for the sake of recapping. In verse 1, he tells them, listen, man, I am your creator, the one who made you out of nothing. In verse 3 and 4, he tells them that he is the Lord who loves them and that they are precious in his sight. In verse 5, he says they are not to be afraid because he is with them. In verse 11, he says he is the Lord and apart from him there is no savior. In verse 14, he tells them that he is their redeemer. In verse 15, he says he is the Holy One and the King, and he is the one who keeps his promises. In verse 16 and 17, he reminds them of what he's done for their forefathers and how he brought them out of the bondage in Egypt. Now he comes to verse 18 and 19, and he's saying to the people, listen, man, after all I've told you in the last few verses, forget the former things now. Don't dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. I am giving you an opportunity to start over. And this is what he's saying to you and I. He first reminds us of who he is. And then he says, I'm doing a new thing. I am doing a new thing in your life. God was not condemning them for their past because they could do nothing to change the past. Instead, God is holding out a hand of hope. He wanted to give them hope and an encouragement to his people. He wanted them to know that even though they were being punished by being in exile in Babylon, that they were not forsaken, that was not the end of them. Israel, no doubt, was discouraged because they thought they had reached the end, that they had gone too far, that they had sinned and rebelled against God to the point that he didn't want to be their God anymore, that it was over. They could remember the former things, the past, but they couldn't see the future. And that's why God is saying, stop. Listen, I am doing a new thing for you. And this is what God is saying to you and I. Maybe that's how we are this morning. We feel that we've made too many mistakes, that we failed ourselves and our family, and we failed God many times. We have made financial failure. We have had relational failure. We have had moral failure. And you may have really blown it. And you've made some decisions you hope nobody finds out about. Now you feel it's over. There's no future for you. Friends, regardless of the failure you have had in your life, God is saying, it's not over. It's not over. I have plans for your life. I'm about to do something new for you. Friends, so how do we go about making this fresh start? And last week I shared two of them, and I just want to recap on those two before I share another two. The first step to getting a fresh start is to stop making excuses. Stop making excuses, friend. If you want to make a fresh start in life, you have to stop making excuses. I have to stop making excuses for my failure. I've got to stop blaming other people. I've got to stop seeing myself as a victim of my circumstances. Other people, we said last week, can hurt us. Other people can harm us. But you are the only person who can ruin your life. No one can ruin your life without your permission. You have a choice. You can choose how you're going to respond to those hurts. The Bible says that the starting point is to just be honest and accept the responsibility for your part in the problem. Proverbs 28 verse 13 says, a man who refuses to admit his mistakes can never be successful. A man who refuses to admit his mistakes can never be successful. But if he confesses and forsakes them, listen, he gets another chance. Isn't that marvelous? He gets a fresh start. The starting point is to starting over is to be honest and face up to the problem. That most of the problems in my life, most of the failures are my fault. I'm the one to blame. It's not so and so, it's me. Sometimes we find it hard to admit when we are wrong. Friends, people don't like to admit. I've made a mistake, I blew it. God says, but wait, hang on. If you admit your mistake, if you admit your failure, if you admit your sin, you get another chance. Isn't that something, friends? Instead of letting that past, that sin, that mistake, that failure, that setback drain you, pull you down, you admit it, and God says, yes, another chance. So friends, don't be afraid to admit that you've made a mistake in the past. You are not perfect. Say what? Yes, you are not perfect. So thank you. Man, the Bible says we need to stop making excuses. Admit when it's our fault and get on with life. The second step we shared last week is that we have to act in faith. The Bible says that the key to change anything is faith. If you want to change your circumstance, it takes faith. If you want to change your personality, it takes faith. If you want to change anything in your life, you have to have faith. One day, two men come to Jesus. They are blind. They are led to Jesus and they ask him for healing. You know what Jesus says? Do you believe? And that I am able to do it? And they say, yes, Lord, they reply. And then Jesus heals them. But in Matthew 9, verse 29, he says, this is according to your faith, it will be done to you. Did you see that verse? Matthew 9, 25. According to your faith, it will be done to you. Isn't that a fantastic statement? The very simple statement, but very powerful. According to your faith, it will be done to you. That means we tend to get out of life what we expect. Friends, What are you expecting in life? Are things going to be better or worse, or are they going to stay the same? If you act in faith, then you will do something positive to ensure that you don't repeat the same mistakes over. I am talking about I hope so, man, Pete. No, it is I know so kind of faith. It is an affirmative faith that takes positive actions coupled with the help of God to change your life. Faith that will allow you to use your failures and setbacks as stepping stones. A faith that tells you in the darkest hour that God is bigger than your most powerful enemy. A faith that tells you that every good and perfect gift comes from above. Friends, to experience this new and amazing thing that God has prepared for you, it takes faith. We've got to act in faith. We've got to stop making excuses. Those are the first two things we spoke. Now let me start today's sermon. Say, oh man, I thought you had the end. No, no. The third step to getting a fresh start is to focus, friends. Focus is to focus. Athletes often talk about the importance of being focused. I read that Arnold Palmer, when we were youngsters, we used to love Arnold Palmer, golf player. But we loved the way he dressed and even his line of clothing. As youngsters, we used to have cardigans with Arnold Palmer written on it. Arnold Palmer shared a story about the importance of being focused. He was in a golf tournament, and as he walked to the green to make an easy shot, he saw one of his old friends. So he took a moment to go over to his friend and shake hands and then have a little conversation. And then he walked onto the green to make an easy putt, but he missed because he had allowed himself to be distracted. He lost his focus. Sometimes we get so caught up in the shoulders, wouldas, and couldas that we don't see the things that are right in front of us. We often hear people, I should have read my Bible more. I should have prayed more. I should have tried harder. Then we also hear people say, if I would have done that or this, then that wouldn't have happened. Or we hear people say, if I could have just tried harder, if I could have been a better example. And so we have to erase that kind of thinking in our minds, friends. Sure, we have memories, we have regrets, but we can't keep thinking about them. Listen, we've all made mistakes. We can't keep dwelling there. We all have sinned. We can't keep feeling guilty. We must move forward and we must make the most of every day that comes. We need to focus on I will. I can. I am. You see that? He said, I should have. I would have. I could have. No. You've got to start saying, I will. I can. I am. I will read the Bible more. I will pray better, have a better prayer life. I will weather the storm. I will make it through the valley. Do you see that? I can be a better Christian. I can be a disciple of Christ. I can be a prayer warrior. I can turn my life around. After all, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What about I am? I am victorious. I am a child of God. I am going to make it regardless of the adversity. I am redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Come on now. Stop dragging your feet and say, well, I could have done this. I would have done this. I should have done this. No. No, friends. Come on now. I can and I will make it through each day because I am a favored child of God. I think Charles Swindoll put it best in his article called Attitude. Let me read it for you. The longer I live, the more I realize the impact of attitude on life. Attitude to me is more important than facts. It is more important than the past, than education, than money, than circumstances, than failures, than successes, than what other people think or do, say or do. It is more important than appearance, giftedness, or skill. It will make or break a company, a church, a home. The remarkable thing is we have a choice every day regarding the attitude we embrace for that day. We cannot change our past. We cannot change the fact that people will act in a certain way. We cannot change the inevitable. The only thing we can do is play the one string we have, and that is our attitude. I am convinced that life is 10% what happens to me and 90% how I react to it. And so it is with you. We are in charge of our attitudes. Friends, I need to focus my thoughts if I want to change my life and make a fresh start. I need to rethink the way I think. I need to change my mind about a number of issues. In Proverbs 4, verse 23. Proverbs 4, verse 23. Listen what it says so nicely in the New Century Version. It says, be careful what you think, because your thoughts run your life. Friends, the way you think determines the way you feel. So think determines the way you feel. And the way you feel determines the way you act. If you want to change your actions, you've got to change the way you think. You see that? And it will inevitably change the way you feel, which will change the way you act. You see that? Right? The way you think determines the way you feel. And the way you feel determines the way you act. And if you want to change your actions, then you've got to change the way you think. Because when you change the way you think, it changes the way you feel and the way you act. You got it? If you are depressed and discouraged and distressed, it may be because you think in depressed and discouraged and distressed thoughts. It's your choice. You don't have to think those thoughts. If you are acting in fearful, worried ways, it's because you think in fearful and worried thoughts. Romans 12, verse 2. We learned this when we were little. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. Do you see that? Paul says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The one of the things we need to be focused on, friends, this is very important, is the Word of God. I was talking to another fellow from another denomination, and he said, you know, Keith, I must admit, but you guys are focused on the Word of God. He says, that is a strength you guys have, is that our point of departure is the Word of God. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Friends, let's look at Psalm 1, verse 1, 2, and 3. And this is the New Century Version. And I know you memorized it when you were little from the King James. But it says, happy are those who don't listen to the wicked, who don't go where sinners go, who don't do what evil people do. They love the Lord's teaching. And they think about those teachings day and night. Now, the King NIV says, and they meditate on his law. They meditate on his law day and night. They are strong like a tree planted by a river. The tree produces fruit in season, and its leaves don't die. Everything they do will succeed. But listen, friends, isn't it interesting that the Bible doesn't just say, hey, if you read it, this book, you'll be happy and successful. It doesn't say, if you just listen to this book, like through the sermon, you will be happy and successful. It says, if you meditate on it, you will be happy and successful. You know what meditate means? To think over and over and over in your mind what the word means to your life. I consider it, I consider its implications in my life, and I meditate on it. I let it change me. I let the word of God speak to me. I don't just read it for the sake of, hey, you know what? I read the whole book of Philippians, the whole letter to the Philippians. No, it's not about that. It's about meditating, taking the word and going over it and over it again. Often you have people say, they go back to the old sermons on our church website and they listen to it and they let it talk to them again. They're meditating on what God is saying in those sermons. Friends, listen. As we fill our minds with God's word, it begins to change our minds. We stop seeing ourselves as other people see us. We stop seeing ourselves as we've seen ourselves in the past, but we begin to see ourselves as God does. Friends, that's where the change takes place. That's the power to start over. Stop making excuses. Stop blaming other people for my failures. Act in faith. Focus my thoughts the way I think, and do so by meditating on the Word of God. Okay, one more. The final step to getting a fresh start, friends, in life is to trust in God. Trust in God. Trust God to help us succeed. Depend on Him. We don't need to depend on ourselves. We've proven that we can't do it on our own, and that's why we failed. Some people just don't get it. They stumble and fall, and then they get up and say, I'll just try harder. It's like you go up to the wall and you bang your head against it, and the wall doesn't fall down, and you try again and again, and you keep thinking, maybe it will fall over this time. You know what's that the definition of? Insanity. Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. Friends, If we keep doing the same thing, then we will keep getting the same results. We can't change who we are. God can change us, friends. And we need to trust Him. We need to depend on Him for help. I'm not speaking about the outward man. I'm talking about the inner man. The real person is the hidden person of the heart. Success in a Christian life is not trying harder. It's living smarter. And how do you live that? By giving God control of your life, trusting Him with your life. Zechariah 4, verse 6. Zechariah 4, verse 6. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Did you see that? Another version says, you will not succeed by your own strength or power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Friends, if God can make a way in a wilderness and rivers in a desert, you know that He's able to remove the mountains in your life. The God that we serve is able to do abundantly above all we ask or think. If He can cause a virgin to conceive a child, He can see us through any situation. If the Lord can open the Red Sea, He can open doors of opportunity for you. When there seems to be no way, the Lord will make a way. Where there seems to be no present hope, the Lord will give us hope. Where there seems to be no present joy, in Christ we will discover joy. Where there seems to be no strength, you will find that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We serve a God, friends, who is doing a new thing in our lives and in our church. Don't forget that. He's doing a new thing in our lives. Will you like to have a fresh start in your life? Will you like to have a new beginning? It's your choice. But keep in mind, God is able to do a new thing. The Bible says, and it's not on the screen, He is able to do abundantly above all we ask or even think. We serve a God who is going to do a new thing, but we must believe. We must follow where He leads. We must listen when He speaks. We must give when He expects. We must desire when He offers. We must claim when He promises. And we must see when He reveals. A new start in life is offered to all of us. Anytime we are willing to accept it from God. And so in closing, I want to read the verse that we started with. Isaiah 43. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, thank you so much. We all wear these beautiful smiles on the outside, Lord, and we say, man, everything is just lovely. But sometimes we are reminded of a past event. We are reminded of a past activity, a past thought, a past attitude, a past action. and we are robbed of our joy and peace. We feel guilty and under condemnation. And as we go into 2021, Lord, we don't want to do that anymore. We don't want to be condemned and always feeling guilty and worthless, hopeless. Lord, we want you to do a new thing in our lives. We want you, Lord God, to help us all. Help us all. By helping us, Lord, I ask that you will help us to stop making excuses. Stop covering up. To be honest with you and say, Lord, it's true, Lord. I've done that. I'm sorry, Lord. Lord, I pray that we would act in faith, believing that you are able to forgive us and cleanse us if we confess our sins, and to cleanse us from all our sins and unrighteousness. Help us to act in faith. But Lord, in doing so, as Christians, I pray that we may focus on your word. We may meditate on your word, Lord. That we can trust you, Lord, and change the way we think, Lord. Father, help us, because when we read your word, we get to see how you see us, Lord. Doesn't matter how people down the road see us or what they think of us. But as we read your word, we know how you see us. You see us as your children, whom you love dearly. Help us to trust you, Lord, to trust you every day. We panic. We think of the virus that is going around. We think of the unemployment, the lack of funds, and so on. But Lord, help us in 2021 to continue to trust you, Lord. Trust you, Lord. This is our prayer. Bless everyone, Lord, here in the sanctuary. Bless all those in their homes where your presence is so strong, Lord. Bless everyone here, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. This gives us our second wind, as it were, to keep on keeping on. Help everyone. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.